Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
All eyes are on the K Club this morning as the Irish Golf Open gets underway, and golf fans have been up early for tee-offs, along with our own Greg Allen, who's there. Hello, Greg.
Hi, Claire.
You painted a wonderful picture earlier on Morning Ireland of this crisp morning in Kildare with the smell of bacon in the air. It sounds like it's the place to be today.
It's a lovely atmosphere. And look, Irish Opens are really special. I go back to when I was a child looking at the Sunday Independent on a Sunday of the Irish Open, and then have this wraparound at the front of the paper, all in colour, all down to the Irish Open. Now, I presume that was sponsored, but it was a huge thing for me growing up. And you know, this is the 50th year since the revival of the Irish Open at Woodbrook in 1975. So, you know, it's a very special event. And I think also the front loading of three Irish legends of the game today in the morning tea times between 20 to 8 and 8 o'clock, all in sequence, one in front of the other on the course, has really certainly rewarded the early risers who made it here. And I think as well, as much as I have covered like so much Irish success over the last 20 years, I've been so lucky, I kind of pinch myself that this is happening, because it is quite a thing in Irish Open, you know, folklore, to have three major champions, all from the island of Ireland, including the reigning Masters champion, eight majors, like worldwide majors to their collective names, all former Irish Open champions. And you have also got like Leona Maguire contributing to this incredible era for Irish golf as well in a very big way. And it's extraordinary that this small island, you know, hanging out over the edge of Europe, is the most successful country in the world in the majors over the last 20 years outside the United States. This era won't last forever. So no point looking back in 10 years' time whenever, if you want to see these players, come down, join the crowds these next 4 days, because this is an incredible opportunity, I think, you know, to see them up close. And this is a beautiful venue as well, here at the K Club. It's a real fan-friendly venue as well. So if you're not just into the golf, there's plenty, plenty to do.
Well, it is pretty special when you put it like that, and we'll accept all of that, certainly, with bells on. So Porrick, Shane and Rory, they've already teed off. How are they getting on?
Rory's going really well. He's 3 under after 10 holes. I'll just check the top of the leaderboard now. He's in a tie for 6th place, now up to 3rd place on a 3 under par. And the leader is Daniel Brown of England on 5 under, and he's been joined in the lead by Adrien Sadier of France. So 2 shots back in the group on 3 under par, Rory McIlroy. He actually got off to a really odd start. He had a great drive down the par 5. His first hole was the 10th. And his second shot came off the hosel of the club. Now, that's the part of the club where the shaft at the bottom meets the head of the club. And the ball ricocheted straight right into the trees, right almost at my feet. So I had the privilege of telling Rory, "There's your ball, Rory." We're just beside us here in the press centre is where the 10th hole is. But remarkably, anyway, he made par there somehow or other out of a bunker, and then holed a 30-foot putt on the next green, and he's up and running. He's not, you know, swinging brilliantly. There are quite a few ropey swings in there, and yet the putter's been nice and hot. The short game, which is very underestimated for him, really going well, and he's nicely in there now, 3 under, just 2 off the lead, tied for third. Shane Lowry, just a level par after 11. Porter Carrington, 1 over after 11. And John Doyle, the amateur from Fota Island, only 18 years of age, 1 under after 6.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We have 11 Irishmen in the field, haven't we? We have our top three who we talk about a lot, but there are others we should be watching too.
Yeah, I mean, there are stories out there as well. Like Conor Purcell, for example, he's the only Irish player full-time on the DP World Tour. He's 148th in the DP World Tour rankings. He needs to finish in the top 113. If he actually finished in the top 20 this week, it elevates him hugely into the position where he could retain his card next year. Top 20, because that's the level of money that's here. You get about 70 grand for finishing 20th. Tom McKibben plays on the LIV Tour. You know, the LIV Tour season is over, so he's playing well. He made only around $5 million on the LIV Tour this year. So, you know, he's on top of a signing on fee earlier in the year, which was another probably $5 million to $8 million. So he's playing, and he's a very fine young player. Max Kennedy, just in his first full year as a pro, Alex Maguire as well. So like, there's plenty of players trying to make their way in the world. There's sort of two tournaments within a tournament here, and we've got a very, very strong young group of players here hoping for a good finish.
And how is the Irish Open considered in the world of golf? Is it an important one or not?
Yeah, this is a good question. I would love to see this as possibly, you know, joining into a territory where it's part of the PGA Tour. Now, there are downsides to that as well. It has this type of hiatus territory of existence. It's one of the big money events on the DP World Tour, $6 million. But it's not like the Scottish Open, which is part of the PGA Tour. And yet, you know, this is a national title, arguably the most important national title in all of the DP World Tour schedule, because the Open Championship, or the British Open, as many people will call it, is not part of the DP World Tours. It's not one of their events that they organise. And I think that there's a responsibility to what is one of the biggest, you know, crowd pullers, biggest attractions in terms of the DP World Tour around the world, and the pictures that are beamed to the Far East, to America, whatever it is. I think it's time the Irish Open was elevated even further, because it does have a huge appeal. And yeah, where it stands right now, I'll tell you what I think about it. The end of the Ryder Cup sort of qualification period was a couple of weeks ago, but last week, the tournament in Switzerland, that meant the wild cards were picked after that. So last Sunday was the cutoff line for qualification for the Ryder Cup. Next week in Wentworth at the PGA Championship, all 12 of the European Ryder Cup team are going to be there. And this kind of falls in the middle. This date really suits Rory and Shane. That's the big thing. They will play in this date because it really suits their schedule. And they are the big attraction here. So it's hard to know how to square this equation. But I'd like to see it elevated even more than it is right now.
And tell me, when the ball landed at your feet and Rory came over to retrieve it, what's his state of mind there? Can he say hello to you, or is he just too wrapped up in what he's doing?
He's a bit wrapped up, but he did say thanks, Greg.
Did he?
He did, yeah.
But you have a chat with them afterwards when they're a bit
crossed.
More relaxed, right?
You know, it is quite a, you know, it's an intense thing when a round is finished. You know, there's lots of media sources want to interview Rory, but I'm in that queue, all right. So anyway, he kicked on well from there, birding the very next hole. Uh-huh. And as I said, he's going very well right now.
I'm sure.
On 3 under par, just 2 shots off the lead.
You'll be chatting to all of them later on, I'm sure, and we'll all get to hear about it. Greg, thanks so much, and continue to enjoy the Irish Open there at the K Club. That's Greg Allen. We'll take a break before the news.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.